it was going to be hot, and I think everybody knew it, but I don't think everybody knew how hot it was going to be. So I thought we came out understanding what we needed to do. And it's just great to go against another team. It's a different type of intensity, a different type of focus, in my opinion. You know, it's just good to do something different. And, again, I think it's another growing opportunity for a football team.
Three down, one to go. One more preseason game, that is, and that's on Thursday night against the Chicago Bears. Hi, everybody. Welcome live to Maria for Dog Pound Report. Nathan Zagura is here. Matt Wilhelm is here as well. Back from Tampa, guys. What is the barometer on this team after falling on Friday night?
It wasn't good enough. There's a lot of work to be done, and Hugh Jackson has said that extensively after that game, and it's no surprise. I think after a week of joint practices where the Browns were the better team, it was night and day, many people said. Browns reporters said it. Bucks reporters said it.
We heard
especially
it.
Compared to last year when we went to Buffalo. So shocking development, I think, in the game. Very surprising. But, again, it's a young team. It's a whole new system. Rome will not be built in a day. But, again, not what you were looking for, not what Hugh Jackson was looking for, not what the Dog Pound was looking for. And a lot of work still needs to happen.
It definitely does. And I think the one thing that the Dog Pound and Hugh Jackson are probably most disappointed with, and it's going to be what we expect of this football team, is consistency. And I think that the up and down of this football team year after year is what's so disappointing. The second you think they got it figured out, they don't. And I think that's what this week of practice really was for them, to get shocked and kind of hit in the face on Friday night. It was a drastic blow for this team. And something, as you can kind of hear in Hugh Jackson's voice, he was disappointed, and he knows that there's a lot of work, and I hope he's conveyed that to this team.
All right, you set it up. Listen to Hugh after the game on Friday night.
We didn't play as well, that's for sure. I'm not going to say we left him on practice field, but I know we didn't play like I think we can play. So that, you know, we got a lot of work to do still, and that's what I told our team, and we'll continue to get better. Again, we got to go back and fix these things. That's what, you know, the preseason's for. You know, we got to find out where the holes are and fix them, and we got to fix them quick.
Really reminded me of even halftime of the Green Bay game. It was that same kind of feeling that he had, I think, after he saw his team play for the first time. Let's kind of walk through this game a little bit. The starters, how did you think they performed?
Well, defensively, obviously, there are a lot of issues here. And Jameis Winston threw for 259 yards and two touchdowns in the first half alone in this game. He was able to do whatever he wanted. There was no pressure on the quarterback. He was able to dissect that. Mike Evans had 115 yards and a touchdown in the first half.
Preseason game.
Vincent Jackson had nearly 80 yards in the first half. So those two were over 200, were almost near 200 yards of the 259. Not good enough defensively, not enough pressure. I did think, however, one thing that I thought was interesting was they opened the game kind of in a nickel look that had Kruger, Ogba, Nassib, and Xavier Cooper as a four-man front, and they did pretty well against the run. That was the one thing, Andy, that I thought was good, better against the run, but overall, they were just dissected by Jameis Winston.
They definitely were, and I think that that's something that we've heard from Hugh Jackson and Ray Horton, is that they're going to do everything they can to figure this out. They're going to find the right combinations of players. They're going to put them in the right spots and where they're most comfortable and they can be the most productive. And if we have to get out of that 3-4 defense in some situations and get into those nickel fronts, because it gives us the best opportunity to defend the pass as well as run, we will do that.
All right, there were some good things that happened in this game, and I think watching Josh Gordon be back out on the field can give you some high hopes and expectations as you walk into week five with him. Gordon talked after the game after having two great receptions.
In any regards, I'm just looking to go out there and give effort. You know, I think that's what got it done before, and I think that's what's going to get it done another time, and not only for me, but for everybody in this room. That's how we're going to win games. We got to give effort. You know, when it doesn't seem like there's an option, or we're down, we're out, go a little bit harder, you make a play on the ball.
Matt, almost a full compliment on offense. And when I look at Josh Gordon, it's like, okay, these are great plays, but I've got one foot on the gas pedal and one on the brake because I know he's not going to be there for the first 4 weeks.
Right, and it was a little bit of a teaser, I think, but it's something that the Browns fans and I think Hugh Jackson really needed to see. Where is this guy? Because he's a guy that's been missing in action pretty much for the last 2 years. And I think all we've heard is that he's walking the straight and narrow, he's doing it out of practice, and we saw him do it in the football game. So I think Josh Gordon took a step, and I think we just got a little inclination of what this explosive offense could actually look like, and the guy actually made plays when the ball was thrown his way. The one thing that was a little disappointing for me, and I heard Hugh talk about it, just Corey Coleman. You know, it wasn't too big for him, but he was a little bit unnerved. He was pressing a little bit, wanted to make that splash after missing the first two preseason games. So I look for maybe a guy like Corey Coleman, even though he's going to be a huge weapon for us in those first four games without Gordon, to maybe just get a few reps in the Chicago Bears game and then get him out.
Well, I saw Josh Gordon come in, 2 targets, 2 catches, 87 yards, and I had an opportunity to talk with him after the game, which is at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. This was emotional for him. This was a big return. It meant a lot to him, and we saw it in practice. I knew he looked like the same guy, and you got to see it. That was against Brent Grimes, a very good corner, a veteran corner, and he went out there, made a play on that touchdown. But the thing for me is, We can't just be a big play offense.
No.
And I thought we saw some good things running the football. Isaiah Crowell, 8 carries, nearly 40 yards, so about 5 yards a carry. Duke looked good. But they need to be able to sustain drives. And part of the problem was the offensive line not giving Robert Griffin III enough time, or RG3 in cases holding the ball too long. We had talked about that magical 2.5-second number. This game, well over 3 seconds, 5 sacks of Robert Griffin III, and those are drive killers. You can't have that.
They definitely are. And I think that's going to be the detriment of this offense. There's got to be a steady mix of run and pass. And as we talked prior to this football game, is I wanted to see the intermediate even more. I know we have the big play capability. We have it. I want to see the intermediate stuff.
All right, before we get to defense, I just want to ask you real quick, what was it like for you? Were talking about Coleman for a second. That first preseason game, it's got to be nervy. It's got to be jittery. What was it like for you?
It's obviously nerve-wracking. It's that I made it moment. You know, yes, some of the checks have cashed, but the fact that you're in a visiting team stadium, you're in that uniform, you know, that you're going to don for the next 4, maybe 5 years here in Cleveland. And I think having missed the first two preseason games, it just added a little bit to what that moment actually meant for Corey Coleman. So I wouldn't be surprised, and that's why I think for Hugh Jackson to get those bugs and get those kinks out for Corey Coleman specifically, that he might take a few reps against the Bears and then you get him out of that game.
All right, let's switch over to defense now. And you said you had some great interviews at ClevelandBrowns.com. One of those interviews is Paul Kruger, and you had a chance to catch up with him after the game in Tampa.
I think the biggest lesson to the young guys is exactly what Coach Jackson said, was just that this is never easy. Week after week, it's just never an easy thing. You constantly have to be ready to give it your all every play.
Real. As we look towards the regular season, how much are we actually seeing? Like, I don't get worried. There are people calling the radio show and saying, Paul Kruger this, I'm not seeing a whole lot out of this. I'm saying it's preseason. He knows how to get his reps. What do you think?
Yeah, well, they got to make plays. And to one point, it is preseason. We went down there last year, played Tampa in the preseason, and beat them 31-10, and we know how our season turned out. So you don't want to overstate the importance of it. However, we've seen this defense struggle in training camp. Our offense dominated them. We've seen this defense struggle now against the backups in Green Bay. We saw them struggle last week. We've seen them struggle this week. Matt Ryan had his way. So there is something there. They're not making enough plays. There was good pressure on Jameis Winston. They couldn't finish the deal. They couldn't seal the deal. So they've got to find a way to do that. And then the other thing that jumps out to me, secondary depth. Tremont Williams didn't play yesterday. Then Gilbert gets banged up. Tracy Howard comes in. There's a miscommunication that leads to the big touchdown to Mike Evans. There weren't enough guys stepping up. And that's an area that I think ultimately some people on the 53-man roster aren't here right now at the quarterback position.
I agree, and I think that's the one concern as you look at what this final 53 is going to look like, is the depth on who it is and where are we going to have that depth, and are those guys, as I like to say, always going to be one play away? How much drop-off is there going to be if a starter does get hurt and we have to put in a two? And in the successful teams in the National Football League, there's not much. And that guy can come in and do some patchwork until that number one guy gets healthy again, either later in that football game or that next week. And that is something that we've got to find here. And I think that onus falls on Andrew Berry and Sashi Brown.
One of the other big stories of the week was Barkevious Mingo getting traded while the team was down in Tampa. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. I don't know if I was surprised by the fact they got a number 5 pick or if they were surprised that they moved him. Were you surprised?
I was surprised that he was moved. I didn't know what his future was with the Browns. He's basically at this point with the Browns was becoming a core special teams guy as opposed to an every down linebacker outside or inside. There was apparently a bidding war, New England and Detroit both after Mingo's services. And I know from talking to people in the organization, they were very happy to get a 5th round pick, because when you look out there, who's a 5th round pick this year? Hollywood Higgins is a 5th round pick. Spencer Drango is a 5th round pick, and also Peyton and Caldwell. But two guys that can make impacts, that's big draft currency for Sashi and Andrew.
It really is. And it just adds another bullet to the gun for a team who is trying to turn things around, and they're doing it with their development of their young talent and via the draft. And I didn't mind this trade at all, because again, we take $5 million off our books for a guy that was, you know, the 6th overall pick in a bad year in the NFL draft, and we really haven't got a return on our investment. So now he goes on to New England, and we've got some currency in that 5th round pick.
And I'll tell you, the hype was, or the projections were once it was announced, but the comp wasn't announced, conditional 7th rounder. That's what everybody thought. So when the Browns got a 5th, I know a lot of the pundits out there talking said, man, Sashi Brown did a great job to get that from a very shrewd organization in New England.
I will be interested to see what Mingo does in New England.
I wish him well. He's a great guy.
I like him.
Flourish.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope he gets a new opportunity in New England. All right, we're going to come back. We'll have more of Dog Pound Report live from Berea. When we come back, how hard is it to make the 53-man roster? We'll dive into that subject next. Dog Pound Report live from Berea. All right, guys, in the first segment, we talked about the offense. We talked about the defense. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes in all of football that I've ever heard is from Jim Tressel, your former coach, who said, the punt is the most important play. And when it comes to special teams, he believes that.
I know he did. I saw that.
On special teams, there were some things to work on from the other night.
Yeah, they gave two big punt returns, one of them for a touchdown. And one thing to note, though, when you're looking at who might make this roster, and we're going to get into how tough it is to make the 53, some certain guys stood out as being on the first team special teams unit. Derek Kindred, we already know he's going to make team. Cam Johnson was out there quite a bit. Dominique Alexander was out there quite a bit. Tracy Howard was out there. So guys to keep an eye on there. But the punt returns, you can't have that happen. And I know there's one that a big deal was made about, Andy Lee's effort on the first punt return touchdown. Well, I can just tell you, Andy Lee, Pro Bowl punter, has been coached. Don't even think about making a tackle in the preseason. Up until this point in his career, it was clearly not acceptable with Hugh Jackson. The next punt return, he actually did make a tackle. It's unfortunate, though, that he was even in a position to make a tackle on not one, but two. We had some gaffes also against Green Bay. Special teams for this team especially has got to be cleaned up.
It definitely does, and I think that it's that bottom 30% of the roster that makes up your special teams predominantly, as you want to rest your starters, especially your defensive guys who could potentially be on the field an awful lot with those big plays as we've seen thus far in the preseason. And it's a little bit concerning for me. It is. Because we've seen the drop-off that when the starters come off the field, the twos and threes, it's kind of been a mess. And those are the guys that have to be our starters on special teams. Right. So I think Chris Tabor and Hugh Jackson are going to have a long conversation about who makes this team specifically on special teams.
All right, speaking of conversations, we talked a lot about the team going to Tampa last week to practice. Would it be good? Would it be bad? Here's what you thought when it was all said and done.
I thought we had a lot of good work. I mean, I thought on both sides for us, all three sides, rather, special teams, offense, and defense, it's really good to come out and do this against another team. Obviously, just like I talked about, we got to handle the elements right. You know, it's a little hot, a little humid, and that's what I'm glad it is. The hotter, the better, because that's the way it's going to be as we start during the season, obviously, against Miami. So it's good to be in this situation practicing against a different team. And, again, we'll go back and watch the tape. I know there's some things we got to clean up and do better, but at the same time, I thought the work overall between both teams was really good.
Nathan, listening to you Friday night, I thought you were going to jump through the radio about the disparity between the game and the practices themselves in Tampa.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I think if you'd had bad practice, then a good game, people would feel a lot better because the game is where you really see it. But in talking to people in the organization overall, it was considered a very successful week because those 2 days of practice were so good and there was a lot of learning. Now, all that matters in the NFL is what happens when the lights are on bright when you play games. So they've got to clean that up. But overall, a good week, especially for the offense. And really, the return of Joe Hayden stood out. And he looked good. I know that those numbers Jameis Winston put up were gaudy. It was not a lot at Joe Hayden. I thought he had a good game out there. But it was a good week, just ended on such a disappointing note.
And I think for as young as this team is, and now that Hugh Jackson's the head coach for at least, you know, the next 3 to 5 years, they're going to go on the road at some point or host teams here in the future. And I think it's a learning lesson for all of them to understand that it's got, okay, we had good day one, good day two, but it really goes for naught if you don't finish it at the end of the week. And I think that's something that Hugh can coach these guys. And I really think it's going to be an up and down year for this football team. And I think it's kind of been an up and down week. We just hope that they can recover from this, put their best foot forward this Thursday, and then prep, 11 days away, 12 days away, and then where it's the real thing.
There have been some great stories throughout camp as we get set to start the season and go into this fourth preseason game. But I think one of the best stories has been RG3. Here's his thoughts on his offensive performance.
It's funny because you can throw a check down and coach will just go berserk. And you throw, you know, an 80-yard bomb, and he's just like, next play, guys, next play. So it's just all about understanding the process. And when it comes to football, check down sometimes can be the best throw because it's the only throw that you need to make in that moment. So coach has been hard on myself and the rest of the quarterbacks to make sure we're making the right decisions.
Matt, how's the RG3 story playing out to you?
The RG3, thus far, maybe, you know, taking Tampa into account, it's been pretty good. And I think in most people's minds, it's been better than they thought. And I think RG3 just can sit. All I want to see is small incremental steps. Each week, get a little bit better. And he faced adversity, which he will throughout the regular season. I think how he bounces back and gets ready for the September 11th Philadelphia Eagles trip is going to be, you know, surmountable in my mind.
I think you're seeing what you would hope for, right, in terms of the upside, the good running, the good deep ball throwing, making quick decisions most of the time. But last night you saw one of the things that had been the question mark for RG3. And again, it's not going to happen overnight. The ball was being held a little bit too long against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That resulted in sacks. The line didn't do him any favors either. But these guys haven't gotten a chance to practice. The Gordon, Pryor, Coleman group and RG3, maybe 10 reps before that game. So it's going to take some time, but we've seen some good things. We need to keep getting there. And at the end of the day, they still put up 10 points offensively in the first half. And without Joe Thomas for a lot of it, there are good things there. We just need to see more. And the defense really needs to come up.
One guy that we're able to see this week, obviously, being able to go back, is getting a big return. And Joe Hayden coming back and being able to play defensive back for the Browns. Here's what Hugh Jackson had to say about him.
Great. I mean, I told you guys he'd be back out there at some point. He's back, you know, and I'm glad he's back. He's one of the leaders of our team, one of the better players in the National Football League, and we expect him to play that way. We need to get our hands on the ball on defense. That's what it's all about. We got to take the ball away from the other team's offense, and then we got to keep it on offense.
And you kind of touched on it. Having Joe Hayden back means a world of big for the defense. Just having that leader back out there is something that's intangible.
It does, but other people are going to have to step up and try to play to Joe Hayden's level. He had two interceptions in the practice off of Jameis Winston, but he was out there for a while. Again, he came out early in that first half, as did Joe Thomas, but they need somebody else to step up. And I know Jamar Taylor's played pretty well. He was a victim of a miscommunication with Tracy Howard on that touchdown. Coach Hugh Jackson made sure to say that was not his fault. Gilbert actually made some plays, but then he got dinged up and knocked out of that game, but they need more people to step up in that secondary.
They do, and I think you question the depth of the, we've always had questions about the cornerback room depth standpoint, but you got it. You have Joe Hayden. Depth's not so much an issue because you're comfortable with Tremont Williams and Jamar Taylor.
All right, Matt, congratulations on your first high school win.
Thank you. And the Demons.
There you go. Westlake, big winner for him this week. All right, we'll see you next week on Dog Pound Report.
Yes, sir.
And we'll see you on Thursday night at the game as well. When we come back, Andrew Gribble, the Mad Scribble from ClevelandBrowns.com, will join us, and we will talk about some of the competition battles, how they fare after 3 weeks of preseason football. Time to bring in Andrew Gribble, the Mad Scribble from ClevelandBrowns.com. He's got all the insight on this team. Roster cuts coming up on Tuesday. Just take me through the process of how you think this is going to be. Some years it's we're going to trickle out a couple names. Some years it's a big, just a big release of all the names.
Well, it remains to be seen, I think, because we're dealing with a new regime and a new coach. But the thing to consider is you wonder if they're going to want to practice with some guys Monday that they know they're not going to bring with them on Thursday. That could be the only reason why you maybe make these early. But last year it seemed to be right around the deadline. So maybe we'll be waiting until 4 o'clock on Tuesday this year.
All right, boys, let's dive into the tight end situation because I think there's a ton of quality at tight end on this team, and that demarcation line between Gary Barnage and everybody else seems to be real gray.
It does seem to be pretty gray, but I think it's starting to separate itself, and I think if you watch the game and watch the playing time, that gives a little bit of an indication for you. So it's going to be Gary Barnage. I think they keep four ultimately. Wow. I think they will keep Gary Barnage. I think they will keep Connor Hamlet. Randall Telfer is more of the blocking guy. He's unique. And then they like Seth DeValve. I don't think they're exposing Seth DeValve. To me, it's unfortunate. E.J. Bibbs seems to be the odd man out. Just hasn't gotten reps in the preseason, but could be a guy to come back on the practice squad.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that part, especially on the Telfer thing. I think he's really stood up and kind of asserted himself as that blocking tight end. The only question mark to me was going to maybe be Seth DeValve, but he's proved he can stay healthy for the last couple weeks. And again, this was someone they drafted out of college as a projection. He played wide receiver in college. It's kind of a work in progress. I don't think an injury and missing a couple weeks is going to hurt him for making this 53-man roster. I just want, once the season gets rolling, I wouldn't expect much of him in the offense early in the season.
And he played teams against Tampa and did a good job, which is important.
Yeah. All right, the next big question, and it always seems to be this way, is wide receiver. Taylor Gabriel, first to me, just to talk about him a little bit, I mean, every time I watch him, he does something, and yet he's a guy that seems to be on the bubble.
Right, and I think it's something where he knows he needed to do that just by what you've seen from this draft class. You draft four wide receivers in the draft, and then you have a player like Terrell Pryor emerges as a great receiver, and then you get Josh Gordon back. The numbers were working against him. Now he's putting numbers in front of them on how many catches he made in the second half. I think it's a big opportunity for him on Thursday. He's going to have to do it again.
How will wide receiver play out?
He did a great job, first of all. Hats off to Taylor Gabriel. I know he wants to make this football team and made the strongest case, 6 catches in that second half, leading the team in receiving over that period of time. And, in fact, he had more yards in that half than Tampa Bay did of offense in the second half. So hats off to Taylor Gabriel there. So this is how I see it. We don't have to count Josh Gordon.
Right.
So we've got Corey Coleman's going to make the team. Terrell Pryor is going to make the team. Hawk's going to make the team. Hollywood Higgins is going to make the team. So that's 4.
Right.
Then you look, Ricardo Lewis, I believe, will make the team, even though he's been injured. He's been on special teams. That's 5. I think they keep 6 initially, and Jordan Payton not getting any reps, which makes me think they're trying to get him down to the practice squad. I think Gabriel's got a good chance with Marlon Moore's hip pointer now, but then you see the special teams gaffes, and you wonder, hey, do they want Marlon Moore to come play special teams? Because when you talk about the trade of Mingo, I think that's what it's opened up, is a time for a special teams guy. Maybe a guy like Don Jones, who played every first team rep with the special teams.
Yeah, and it's interesting because before you mentioned that you thought Rekar Lewis is going to make the team, I wrote down there's a group of four with Taylor Gabriel, Marlon Moore, Rekar Lewis, Jordan Payton. I think you take at most two of those four on your 53-man roster. And I think the key development here is how serious is Marlon Moore's injury. I don't think we know just yet how long he's going to be sidelined. But he's a big loss on special teams. And the guy that they were grooming on special teams is Rekar Lewis. We don't know how much longer he's going to be out as well.
They like him, though. They're happy with him.
Where are we with linebackers?
Inside linebackers, yeah. I just think you've seen Dominique Alexander not only in the games, but last week in Tampa, I thought he had a really good week. I think he's your undrafted free agent that is in great shape to make a roster spot, and I think he was fighting Scooby Wright for maybe that last position in the room. We'll see if anything changes, but I could see Scooby going down to practice.
And the question for Scooby becomes, because Carter and Alexander, as you pointed out, are going to be the backups to Kirksey and DeMario, the question for Scooby becomes, did he show enough on teams? Can he show enough on teams, you know, against Chicago, to be that guy that takes advantage of the Mingo trade?
Gribbs, thank you very much. ClevelandBrowns.com. We're back with final thoughts right after this. Well, boys, our last segment out here in Berea. Next week we move back indoors, and then we move into Browns Countdown as the season starts. And we'll be an hour during Browns Countdown during that Philadelphia. And all season long, we're going to be an hour. Should the starters play on Thursday night? I think if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, you're saying, I don't need to see my starters during the preseason anymore. What do you think the Browns should do with the starters on Thursday night?
I say yes, and Matt Wilhelm hit on it earlier talking about Corey Coleman. Corey Coleman, I think, took a little bit of a step back. That time off hurt him, a little bit of rust. I want to see him get out there and have success in a game situation before week one against Philly. So I'd throw the starters out there, game plan some passes to Corey Coleman early, and then get them out of there. I don't need to see a lot of them, but I'd like to see something positive from the starters on both sides of the ball and then move on.
Listen, I'm all about risk management, so I lean the other way. Maybe a few starters, maybe Corey Coleman. I'm resting a lot of guys. I saw what happened last night in the NFL. Ben Watson out for the season. Jack Muhort with the Colts, he's out for the season. I'm figuring out the problems on the practice field and getting that team healthy to week one.
All right, quickly from Twitter this week, the big question is, when is the roster cut down? It's not so much, it's Tuesday and Sunday, right? The Tuesday and Sunday. But what does it mean and how does it play out and how do guys get to the rookie?
Yeah, I mean, Tuesday you go down to 75 by 4 p.m. and then Saturday, 4 p.m., get it down to 53. And then that's where things really get interesting because the Browns have a very high spot on the waiver claim order, and that's where you start to see some transactions happen. That 53-man roster, probably not going to be the same 53-man roster you bring a week later to Philadelphia.
Final thought?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. This is the time for somebody to step up in the secondary and maybe seize a spot here on this team against Chicago. An important week. And again, this is the season, in my mind, of progress and development. We want to see better incrementally the arrow going up. That was a little bit of a step back in that game, but they have an opportunity to pick it up against Chicago.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. We'll see you on Thursday night. Building the Browns at 7. Browns Countdown at 7:30, and that's the final preseason game of the year right here on News Channel 5. We'll see you Thursday night.